Hello, hoteliers, and welcome to another episode of M3 Minutes. Today, Travis Polstra, sales and marketing assistant, is checking into the podcast to share his hotel stories and experiences. So come join us on the couch. So Travis, thank you again for being here today. It's always fun when I get to chat with other fellow M3 teammates, you know.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited for hotel stories. I've heard much about this podcast.
Okay. Well, instead of hearing, you actually get to be part of the telling process today, which is pretty cool. And, you know, of course, we keep the, you know, some of the secrets kind of safe. You know, we'll leave it anonymous, you know, and well, Jack and Jill are, you know, going up some kind of hill to some kind of battle. But so let's dig into kind of why we're all here. But before we really get into some of those stories, you know, I think the folks out here want to know, what is your role at M3? And what do you do every day?
So I am the administrative assistant for the sales and marketing team. That's you. I like to say my job is to make their jobs easier. So whether it's analytics into some of the data, ordering swag, helping conference information, my job is just to help that smooth along and make the process that much easier.
Which you do well. And I appreciate you. You're like the creamer to the coffee. You just make it nice and smooth. You know, every day I know I can count on you for things that, you know, I'm not going to lie, data. Everybody loves their things. You love your data. And I love that about you,
well, Mr. Thank you.
Because this is your degree in mathematics.
I do have a degree in mathematics.
Yeah.
And ended up in a hotel too.
Okay. I've seen it on your signature, but I'm sure that plays a key role because there's so many things with hotels. You've got to think of finance and inventory. So, you know, that degree is, I'm sure, can go kind of really in any industry.
Yeah, it's kind of mathematics is kind of one of those catch-all. And actually, when I graduated with that degree, I was applying to jobs. Most of the other jobs I was wanting were wanting more so mathematics and something, you know, mathematics and an engineering degree or and a chemistry degree. But, you know, after a while, you know, of applying, my sister said, you know, she ran a hotel up in Hiawassee for a bit. She's like, why don't you come up here for, you know, a couple months and, you know, help fill in this position while we had someone out for pregnancy and cover that for 3 months. It was solid, enjoyable, you know, it was interesting. And so when I moved back down to Atlanta, you know, I looked at hotels first because, you know, I could work myself into that accounting role, you know, after working the front desk.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you started out in Hiawassee, Georgia.
Yep.
And then you decided, I'm going to come to the big city.
If you can call Atlanta the big city, yes.
Right. And moved down a little bit further south to Atlanta, but still Georgia.
Yeah, exactly.
Know? So, and so have you always worked within the hotel industry in Georgia, or have you looked at different states?
Only in Georgia.
Okay.
Just the 3 months up there, and then about 2 years, actually a little bit more than 2 years in Atlanta.
Okay. Now, what were some of those roles that you've had at these? How many different hotels have you been at, and what are some of those roles?
Just two.
Just the two.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the mom and pop one is just a generic front desk, you know, any sort of extra coverage they need. Basically, you're here because we can't find enough people to fill in this role. It was kind of in that semi-off season before it got busy.
Okay.
You know, it was there. When I moved to Atlanta, I start off front desk. I push myself when I'm in any role. What can I do? How can I improve? Where can I go? So they started straight up front desk. They had a basically night auditors. They can only work 5 nights a week.
Okay.
Someone needs to work those other 2 nights. And when that role came up, I was the on day, on night shift front desk person. And that is its own form of torture. Try a ring adjusting your schedule from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. shifts and 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. shifts.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Because you want to get home and sleep, but you can't sleep in too late if you have personal appointments.
Very much so. Or someone wants to meet you for lunch, like your parents. Yeah, noon is going to be hard on either of those schedules right now.
Right. Right, because it's waking up in time to get there, but then, oh, I have to be at work by 3. So it's kind of that second shift.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And then after doing that for a short stint, I ended up being the full-time night auditor. And did that until I found a better opportunity with check fraud verification.
Okay. Now, when we're kind of going back to that night auditor, when you were turning more to that full time, did you hopefully get a little bit better hours where there's more consistency in your schedule?
So it was still as a needed basis. You know, me being the no spouse, no kids, you know, I think at that point, the spare auditor, they did have kids, you know, so you know, I was pretty relaxed making it based around their needs, you know, mm-hmm. whether kid needed. So sometimes I'd be working the full weekend. Sometimes it'd just be, you know, Sunday through Thursday nights, you know, okay. It just really varied.
So in case we have some listeners out here who don't exactly know what a night auditor does, guilty, you know, coming into the hotel space a little bit, you know, a lot of us have only been guests. And so we don't, you know, we get our checked in, we have someone maybe who comes to our room, provides us a little bit of room service. But then after that, that's kind of where we leave it. So for those of us who have not been on that side of the fence, can you go into a little bit more detail? Like, what does a night auditor actually do? Like, walk me through that. I'm very curious.
Yeah. So night auditor, their job is take every issue, everything that comes up overnight, mm-hmm. and it's going to fall into two categories. One, what can I fix right now? Mm-hmm. And two, if I can't fix it, how do I stabilize it until the morning people come in?
Gotcha.
You know, that's the main thing. And that's going along with the front desk duties, check-in people, check-out people, sell like sodas or a bottle of wine or, you know, mm-hmm. Anything like that. And let's see. Night auditor, we'd also, I don't know if it's M3's accounting software or not, but we also would roll the data, do a quick double check. Does this beginning number match the end number mm-hmm. before I send it over to for the daytime accounting people, you know, and just making sure those reports were ready for them.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. So sometimes I think talking to anyone industry-wide, that third shift, that graveyard shift, there's a lot of stuff that can happen. You know, that's when, you know, a majority of the working force is sleeping and kind of getting the R&R, or maybe they're starting to relax. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when beverages are consumed, things happen. And so I'm sure there are lots of different adventures that you've had along the way. And I think that's why we're here today, right? To spill a little bit of the tea and to kind of learn a little bit about some of these stories. And obviously, you know, we want to keep it a little PG in case there are, you know, maybe
PG plus,
nephew or niece are listening to Uncle Travis, you know, that sort of thing. But, you know, I'm very curious because when I, like I said, when I think of the night stories and especially experiences I had in a hotel, you know, you're walking through, you're coming in from a nice dinner and you see a giant, you know, bachelor or bachelorette party going out the door. Yes. Or someone celebrating a milestone birthday and they're all just coming in to get started in the hotel lobby, you know, or, you know, that sort of thing. Or people who are on conferences and this is their time away from, you know, the everyday reality they're celebrating. So,
yeah.
But tell me, so what is probably one of the most bizarre things that you've witnessed while operating a hotel?
Yeah. So I think with night shift, one thing you have to be, you know, fully expecting is anything can happen. The more you react to it, the worse it's going to be. The other thing I like to say is night shift, it wasn't necessarily fun, but it was entertaining. And there's a difference between those two words. Mm-hmm. So one of the craziest things I saw was actually when I covered the night shift at the Hiawassee Hotel. So, you know, I was sitting at, I think that was when I was like 22, 21, you know, I'm just sitting, minding my business. There's three guests in the entire hotel, you know, not much going on. And in about 2 a.m. from the dark, this old woman walks in through the front door and she starts asking about, you know, rooms. I'm like, okay, you know, maybe she pulled up. I didn't see her car. That's not too weird. She, you know, is going all these details. I'm, you know, I don't know, you know, what's going on? She's like, no, actually, I think this room is haunted. You know, I think this hotel is haunted. And she starts going off some tangent. And this is when I'm starting to realize, oh, maybe she isn't here for a hotel room or anything. And, you know, as I'm, you know, debating what to do, she just walks straight out the front door. And, you know, okay, I lock my computer, walk outside. Same number of cars out there. So she walked. And mind you, the one in Hiawassee was up this hill, mm-hmm. is a good half a mile from any sort of like grocery store or anywhere. Mm-hmm. And she just straight up walked away. So, yeah, that one was unsettling, I guess.
Right.
But, you know, I talked to some of the day shift people. They knew her. She would do that every now and then. just one of the locals.
Okay. Because I was thinking, okay, if she thought it was haunted, maybe she was the ghost.
No.
Wouldn't have that been fun if all of a sudden, you know, you walked out there and she wasn't there.
Well, she wasn't there when I walked out. I straight up thought, you know, like, oh, is this missing persons? You know, what should I do? You know, I did like a little email report, uh-huh. You know, like, hey, by the way, this happened. Do we need to call anybody? I'm not really sure.
But it seemed to be common in the northern part of Georgia. Okay.
For that one hotel? Yeah, it was.
I guess, you know, like any industry, you meet your regulars, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you, whether it's food service, you know, people that come in and regular people. And so I'm sure you're used to the frequent guests who probably came in.
Oh,
but then also people who maybe weren't guests, but they were just passing through your lobby.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's so cool. Once you get that repertoire with certain guests, yeah, you'll have guests that make your eyes roll back, but you have ones that are genuinely, you know, enjoyable to be around. And, you know, they get to know you by your name. You can recognize them immediately when they walk in.
Mm-hmm.
It's great having that actual continued connection.
Okay. Okay. Now, sometimes as night auditor, I'm sure you had, there are times where you had teammates with you, you know, helping you. No. Okay. Well, I was going to lead into... Tell me about when you were by yourself, but it sounds like a majority of the time you were kind of by yourself as opposed to having support.
So when I worked in Atlanta, you know, you're always looking for like cost effectiveness. You know, if there's one person who can cover it, how reliable are they? I was pretty reliable, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They would do a nighttime housekeeper if they knew it was going to be completely busy.
Mm-hmm.
If one was willing to stay overnight or if they could find the support for that. They also had a nighttime engineer role. If they could be there for that, if it was busy enough to call for that, and then nighttime security for weekends, if they were available and if they didn't call out. So you'd have nights, there's a frequent amount of time, especially like middle of the week, they wouldn't have anyone ready for those roles. Fine, I can cover it. Shouldn't be too many emergencies, but there'd be others where it's weekend. Oh, engineering called out. Oh, security called out. Oh, we couldn't find a housekeeper.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So... basically, at that point, it's how can I put a Band-Aid over this until it can actually be fixed? That's how it goes. You know, I've had someone, you know, get sick all over their bed sheets, you know, mm-hmm. at mm-hmm. 1 a.m, you know. All right, where can I find the bed sheets? I can offer. Do you want me to change the sheets on your bed? I'm not, you know, fully equipped. It's not going to look all fancy. Offer's there.
Right.
You know, I've plunged a toilet or 14 in my life.
Do you have any other specific memories that maybe really stick out to you, especially on the nights that you were primarily by yourself?
I think one of the like more harder ones to work were certain party groups.
Mm.
You know, it's awesome. Hotels are there. You can have all your friends and family be near you. When you have like 14 adults and all of them are rowdy, as a single person, I may be 6'5",
mm.
you know, and 250 plus pounds, 300 back then. You know, there's still only so much you can do when you have that many people upset at the same time, or, you know, they've come right. back from a bad bar experience and, you know, oh, it's legal to sell alcohol past this hour and y'all want more alcohol. Nothing I can do, you right. know, just how to keep people at bay, you know, when they're upset or coming in upset as a group.
Right. Right. And especially because, you know, there are times where you truly can't do anything because maybe there's corporate reasons or mm-hmm. you just don't have the authority. And sometimes people can, you know, misunderstand that. We're all guilty of it, right?
Yeah. Like we had this one group, they all went out and, you know, didn't think much about it. I said bye to them when they're leaving around 11:30, 11:45. Mm-hmm. Started getting noise complaints after noise complaints. I'm like, okay, what's going on? Well, it was like 5 or 6 families. And they left all their kids in one room.
Mm.
Now, you know, I think there's like 7, 8 kids, one room. The oldest kid was like 12.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, I go up there. There's no security at that night. Fortunately, you know, I'm calm. You know, knock on the door. I have the kid opens the door with the chain, says, "We don't talk to strangers," slams the door back shut. You know, great. You know the lesson, kid. You know, can you... also learn not to talk to strangers through the wall of the next room.
Oh, wow.
You know, or, yeah. you know, turn the TV up max volume for fun or play games. You know, like I get it. You're 12 and under. Y'all aren't the responsible people here.
Right. Right. Now, where were the parents at this time?
They were out clubbing.
Okay. Yeah. So they thought, let's put the 12-year-old in charge of all the kids, mm-hmm. but leave them in one room. Mm-hmm. And that way, it's not like if they're in a house and running around. So the parents, all of them, were out
every
being
last
adult. Okay.
Oh, it gets better. So they come back around the 2:30, and they had been in a bar fight. Like, I thought those were only things in Westerns. No, they had a full bar fight while they're in the club. So, you know, some have like little ice packs or, you know, like they're bloodied up and, you know, okay. Let them know, hey, by the way, the kids were a little bit rowdy. Can y'all make sure they go quiet or, you know, figure out something.
Right.
Please. You know.
Yes.
Trying to be as nice as possible.
Right.
Yeah. You know, there's still people at the end of the day, inconsiderate people, but, you know. Still want to be talked to like you're an adult.
Right. Well, you are in the hospitality industry.
Mm-hmm. You sometimes have to swallow that pill.
I'm sure. So.
And also, it doesn't end there.
I was going to say, you're leaving me on the edge here. So what happens? They come in. They're
so
all
so the families, most
banged.
Of them take, you know, the kids. And I've already by this point had like 6-12 complaints. You know, it's absolutely one of those entertaining nights. It was not fun. I can laugh at it now.
All right.
Could not laugh at it
in
then.
The moment.
Yeah. So start getting more noise complaints rolling in. Roll my eyes back. All right. What's up? It's all on the same floor. I look. I'm like, none of these people were staying on this floor. Get up there. And one of the people from the bar fight had gotten off on the wrong floor and was still in a fairly drunk stupor and was trying to find their room. So they were knocking on every single door. Also, they were one of the ones in the bar fight. So there's bloody handprints and, you know, like little smudge marks on door after door after door.
Wow.
Yeah.
Something from The Shining.
Yeah. Yeah. Then, you know, at that point, you know, ask him his name. Let's go to the lobby. Let's find what room you're in. Oh. You know, get him to his room. His wife is already asleep. You know, fine. I'm not trying to deal with blood.
No.
I fully acknowledge that. There's no housekeeper for another 4 hours. I'm not letting guests walk out of their door and see
blood on their doors.
So I do my quietest, you know, I ask the valet who's from a separate company, you know, hey, can you just watch the front desk? Let them know I'm coming back. Fine. Wipe off the doors as best I can. Mark every room number. There's blood on the door. Send a lovely email in the morning.
Right.
That's all you can do.
Ugh. So now, when everyone came in the morning, mm-hmm. that first shift crew comes back in house cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
How was that resolved?
I don't know. That is not my business. After 7 a.m. rolls around, I've let the morning housekeeping staff know what's up. I've let, you know, my management team knows what's up. I listed every last room that had a complaint, every last room that was affected. And, you know.
And then you punched out and walked out for the day.
That is a day shift problem.
Yep. Yeah, you know, it's always operating. I don't get paid enough for this, so.
It's not only that. It's more so they're equipped to handle it. There's nothing I can say to them differently that's going to change the situation.
Right.
If they're going to ban someone permanently, they'll ban them.
Yeah.
You know, if they're going to do any, you know, discounts on rooms that are effective, they're going to do it.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
I trust true. That.
Well, not so much a, you know, I don't get paid enough, which I'm sure at that point, that day you didn't feel like all the money in the world.
That day
but
I
it
did.
Was, you know. Those times where you think, this is out of my pay range or pay grade.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
definitely
like,
so.
You're letting that other person handle it. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So that's specifically just kind of, you know, one family.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, and I'm sure we've all traveled in the summertime when kids are out of school, you get large families there, especially 4th of July, holidays like that. But then you think about, you know, if people are celebrating the winter holidays, Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. Christmas, you know, Hanukkah, anything where you're traveling to see family.
Yeah.
So tell me about any specific experiences with large families around the holiday times.
Ooh. So Christmas is one of those like coin toss days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll have some families that travel and most people tend to actually be in a pretty good spirit on Christmas. It actually kind of, from my experience, it rolled over into the day. People are relaxed.
Okay.
6 days later, you get to New Year's Eve. Different holiday, different types of family, different issues. Not as hospitable.
Okay. Well, the way you're leading into that, I need to hear more about this too. What right. stuck out with the good old New Year's Eve? Do you remember the specific year?
2017 to 2018. Okay. That New Year's Eve was a standout.
Okay. So going into 2018. Okay. Going,
yep.
Okay. Gotcha.
So security called out. Mm-hmm. Engineering called out. Mm-hmm. Housekeeping called out. There was supposed to be two valets, mm-hmm. different companies. So I can't, you know, technically I can't have them do anything or, you know,
right.
like
right.
one of them called out. So it's one valet working New Year's volume, which means everyone wants to leave. And then everyone wants to come back around 12:30 to 1.
Mm.
So extremely hectic, extremely mm-hmm. crowded. Mm-hmm. Everyone's coming out up drunk, you know.
Right.
So, yeah. That one, it started out, get a text from a manager. Hey, can you come in a little bit earlier so the evening shift people can leave? Fine. You know, that I made a lot of overtime money that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's not bad. I'm already awake. What else am I going to do from 8:30 to 11?
Absolutely.
So get in there 9 o'clock. Front desk people immediately leave after telling me, hey, by the way, X, Y, and Z, they're not coming in. It's going to be you solo the whole night. Okay. Swallow that pill. You're going to just be there. You know, buckle up. The ride's already moving.
Mm-hmm.
So by that point, you know, crowds are starting to come in and out, you know, get a few drunk requests, you know, okay, fine. People are partying. It doesn't really start to occur until that wave of people coming all back at once. So valet is absolutely swamped. Everyone's coming back. And mind you, this was a hotel with barely two lanes. So if someone parked weird, no one can get around them. It's not a good area to back up from.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just going to be stuck. Pizza delivery driver comes up, parks semi-diagonally, just runs in. And says, where's your bathroom? Roll my eyes. I've had this story already two or three other times. I know what's about to happen, but I was wrong. So they skedaddle to the restroom, you know, fine. Valet, during their struggles, like, hey, do you have the keys for the pizza delivery driver? I'm like, no. And he kind of gives me this stare. I'm like, what's up? And he tells me to come around to the front. And we're going back to the shining moment. There's a trail of blood leading from the front door all the way to the bathroom. So long short of it, the pizza driver, their back window was busted and they reached in through the back of it to grab the pizzas and cut their wrist.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So I had a little linen bucket, found a towel.
Right.
He's in the bathroom. You know, it's not severe enough for ambulance.
Right.
Not that I haven't called one of those before, but give them the towel, let them wrap up,
mm-hmm.
mop the floor as clean as I can, put little wet floor signs, you know, put an out of order sign for the bathroom. Not my problem. I'm not dealing with a shining bathroom right now.
Right.
So you do what you can. You're by yourself. How can I put that Band-Aid until the morning?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
They finally leave. The person comes, gets their pizza. Cars are still rolling in at this point. So there's a line of maybe like 10 or 12 cars wrapped around outside the driveway because they're all waiting to pull in.
Because the pizza man has blocked the driveway.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So continuing after that, just people coming drunk after drunk after drunk, which is fine. Some of them are enjoyable. Some, you know, like people are really fun. I've done it with groups before where there's someone semi passed out. I'll offer the wheelchair. We have a guest wheelchair. If your friend can't, you know, if y'all are helping your friend, you know, carry him up, you know,
yeah.
Do you want your friend in a wheelchair? Do you want a group photo? Might have done that a few times.
A selfie.
Basically, you know, a group of, you know, like normally right. it's guys, you know, right. one of them's passed out in a wheelchair and all of the others are, you know, just, you know.
Yep. Yep.
Smile.
We'll take it for later. And, you know, let's keep the evidence off of social media. But, you know, it's something to take home for the memories.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, and that one New Year's night, you know, had another group come in, you know, it's going dandy. You know, we have a revolving door. We shut it down at night for wind and, you know, makes it a little bit, you know, like more secure to get in and out.
Uh-huh.
And I see this woman come up and she's, you know, there's a phrase newborn giraffe when someone wears, you know, like 7-8 inch heels and is so drunk they can barely stand.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, she's wobbling. She gives me that look. I'm like, oh no, she's already pretty passed. walks up. There's a trash bin outside the front door. Great. She looks at the trash bin. She looks at the front door. She looks back to the trash can. And then immediately vomits all over the front door.
Oh.
Like, she knew better. She knew she was going to be sick. What can you do? So, you know, I took a bucket, filled it with water, splashed it, put a little out of order sign on that door too, opened up the revolving door, let people go through there.
You improvised.
You know, you
in
just,
so many words.
Yep. You got to put that Band-Aid on however it fits.
Right.
You know.
Right. And it feels like there's a lot of OSHA certifications involved, too, with sounds like bodily fluids.
Yeah.
You know, I've been a lifeguard in my lifetime. And so I didn't deal with intoxicated adults. A lot of times it was just children who, whatever boo-boos and ailments, are running around the pool. But yes.
Yeah.
Gone through probably that same certification training of how to deal with that stuff.
And I fully recognize I'm not trained, you know, fully for that, or I don't have the certifications.
Course.
I'm also not going to leave a blood trail or a...
Right.
You know,
you're trying to make, you know, the whole point of the hospitality industry is making mm-hmm. a positive guest experience.
Exactly.
And so because of that one guest, you don't want to leave any evidence that would affect other guest mm-hmm. experiences. So you do the best with what you've got and how you've been trained and how you can do within your powers of reason.
Oh, yeah. So the night still gets better.
The night is not done.
That, this is a full-fledged night.
That's right. I forget. It is New Year's.
It is New Year's. And I've already had the blood. I've already had the guts.
Right.
You know, what else could go wrong?
Right.
You
know? I'm sure a lot more. And, you know, a lot of times I refer to New Year's as amateur night. And mm-hmm. so those are the people who, when they go out, that's the one night they go out. And so this is probably, I think from what you said, around 1-ish in the morning?
1-ish, 2-ish. It's starting to get, you know, like...
Okay, so the real partiers are starting to come back in. Okay, please proceed.
Oh, so I get a little alarm beep from the office that's right next to me, mm-hmm. and it's a fire alarm. Like, oh, great, what's going on? So someone decided to start not smoking. They had, you know, those sparkler cakes.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to celebrate with a sparkler cake and, you know, put a good like 30 sparklers in one cake. Caused a little fire alarm to go off. Not the sprinklers, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Get up there, get the alarm turned off, let them know, call the fire department, let them know it's a false alarm.
Right.
You know, just thank you. You know, the whole time the front desk, people are coming in. Hey, where can I find something to help with hangovers? Where can I find this food? You know, where restaurants are open at 2 a.m. in Atlanta? Not a lot.
That is true. And at this time in 2018, so I'm mm-hmm. trying to think where we were. Technology wise. So not everybody had Lyft and Uber.
Yeah, there were the savvy ones did. But even then, Atlanta is a commuter city.
Right.
So there's not a lot of, you know, there's a few 24-hour places, the mm-hmm. Awful Waffle House, you know, there's a couple diners. But after that, there's not a lot of options.
Right, right. And especially in certain parts of Atlanta, mm-hmm. you know, and surprisingly, our downtown does not have a ton of 24-hour options. You have to get more in Buckhead and Midtown. But exactly. I digress.
Yeah.
So, wow, is that the conclusion of the evening?
Oh, boy. So it does continue.
Like
it was one of those, like I said, it's entertainment. It's not fun.
Right.
But I am entertained. You know, nothing I could predict. So there's another business group staying there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they come back at like 2:30, 3, you know, don't think any of it. I know they're like 6 or 7 rooms, you know, fine. Great. Mm-hmm. I see one of them come back down like 20, 30 minutes later. The lobby is finally starting to cool off. There's less people coming through. And he's holding a rag to his face. And I'm like, okay. He's like, do you have any Band-Aids? Roll my eyes again internally this time because, you know, facing him. He removes a rag to reveal it's not a Band-Aid side wound. This is a chunk of his nose is missing.
Oh.
Yeah. So he was very intoxicated, fell, ended up chipping his nose on like the corner of some, you know, desk.
Right.
And the whole time he's, you know, oh, a Band-Aid would fix this. No, a Band-Aid is not fixing this. And it's like a penny-sized Chunk.
Yeah.
So he's not wanting to do anything. He's getting very belligerent, you know, like, you know, no, you seriously need help. I call one of his coworkers that I knew, like mm-hmm. knew their room, like, hey, I hate to ask this. One of your coworkers probably needs to go to hospital. Can you help? Finally, he comes down, gets his coworker in a car, and they go off to the hospital.
Okay.
You know, 7 a.m. rolls around. Great. You know, it should be time. You know, relief is coming in. Now, call out for morning relief. And then the other one says, I have a flat tire. I'll be in like 2 hours.
Oh.
You know, which, yeah, okay, your third tire in a year that goes out.
I will disagree with you. I will challenge you on that. I have had 3 busted tires, and it's Atlanta. You pick up everything. So I agree with you, but I can understand where they're coming from. But still, you hit that point where you're thinking, I just want to get out of here.
Oh, yeah.
It has been the night of my life. Mm-hmm. This is not a happy New Year's for me. And if this is an omen for that year, like, I got to get out. So you would hit that wall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and luckily I had the next day off and cancel all my plans. Just,
right.
You know, I am going to collapse into my bed. And whenever I wake up, that's when I wake up. No plans. This is full recovery day mode.
Yes. You were peopled out at that point.
I was peopled out.
Yes. Yes. And especially non-sober people.
Very much so.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. I'm sure that it was definitely a New Year's to remember. Mm-hmm. And yet you didn't want to forget. And I love that attitude. I love that you can say, you know what, in the moment, yes, it was crazy and chaotic. But now, you know, here we are 6 years later. Laughing about it because, I mean, who doesn't love a good story, right?
You've got to laugh at it.
You do. You do. So speaking of when you go into sometimes certain industries or fields, you always hear little myths or, you know, not necessarily stereotypes, but you're like, you know, just different little myths about an industry. And so can you tell me some of those myths that maybe turned into a reality?
So one of the common ones I've heard was, your rooms are stuck, you know, like you can say whatever you want. You know, it's hard to get upgrades.
Mm.
Not as hard as you'd think. A lot of hotels, when they're trying to reach that maximum capacity,
mm-hmm.
they're overselling the cheaper rooms. So someone's got to be in that deluxe room. Someone's got to be in the presidential suite.
Oh.
So night shift, when I'd see the hotels fully booked, everyone is going to have to be in some sort of room if they mm-hmm. all show up. Who do you decide to go into that presidential suite? You know, obviously, if there's diamond members, platinum members, or, you know, members for, you know, like your hotel brand, yeah, they're probably going to get that upgrade. When those are all finished and you have, you know, 7 more people coming into the night, they're all going to have to go into one of those rooms. You know, if someone, I've had multiple times where, you know, someone comes in, they're very polite, you know, they seem like they're in for a special event and it's just for one night. Yeah, get the presidential suite, you know. Wow. It's going to be filled anyway once everyone comes, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, hear that, ladies and gentlemen. It pays to be nice.
There we go.
You know, just always be nice. Customer service, right? Mm-hmm. So I completely agree with you there.
I had a newlywed couple and they had I call it like a pauper wedding, you know, but, you know, it's a very, you know, they basically went to the courts, got the, you know, papers to be married.
A civil small family. Union.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Small family, you know, and you could tell they were young, you know, they're like their early 20s. They come in, they have one of the cheaper rooms, but there's only one other person expected to come. And, you know, one of the other rooms is presidential. So I'm like, why not give the newlywed couple, you know, a presidential suite? Mm. Let them really remember this day, you know.
Aww.
Yeah, you know, their faces lit up, you know, like the husband, he's like, no, you don't have to. I'm like, oh, yeah, someone's going to be in every last room. Someone's going to be in there.
Yeah, that's so sweet of you. Yeah. I mean, and it's those little things that go a long way. And even if no one else is going to know, you'll know in your heart.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure the wife's like, Philip, we're taking that room. Move, you know.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. I love that. And that's, you know, that is so much of what the hospitality industry is coming from the heart and wanting to take care of people.
Exactly.
And having that positive experience. And so kind of leading into that, and I know we're, you know, kind of wrapping up a little bit here. You've told us the basics, right? Something that hopefully we were all taught is to be polite, have manners. But when you think about other things, what are some things that you would love to tell the people who come into hotels, you know, what do hotel workers want guests to know?
So one of the more significant ones, and this is hard for any sort of people facing industry, is you have to disassociate the company to the people working the front of that company. Mm-hmm. Every issue that's irritating or doesn't work or is inconvenient to you as a guest is not made by that person at the front desk checking you in. It, you know, they didn't decide to overbook a hotel to where now we have to walk you to a different location. You know, we didn't decide, hey, randomly this rate for this weekend should be $200 extra when it's literally the only weekend you can visit your grandkids. Mm. You know, we don't make that decision. We don't get to decide when the bar gets cut off or anything like that. You know, it's walking in. Hey, I can talk about my grievance. This person had no influence in that choice. You know, maybe they can get it changed. Maybe they can find some sort of way to make it a little bit better. If they can, great. If not, it's not them I should blame.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You don't have control over that. And then, you know, on the other hand, sometimes it's good that you recognize some people just want to feel heard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Part-time therapist, you know, working the front desk. Night shift would have that as well. You know, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., you know, someone come with, you know, hey, they struck out at the bars for 4 hours straight. Mm. You know, now they need a shoulder to cry on.
Yeah.
All right. You know,
right. Or yep. They're in town visiting for maybe a challenging family reason.
Yeah. Or funerals. You never know what someone's going through.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And I think from my perspective in the service industry, walking into every day, you don't know these people. They don't know you. Treat them like people. Make sure they know that they're, you know, valued, listened to, and supported the best I can as, you know, someone who's like 23, 24. You know, being underpaid at a horribly houred position with not necessarily all the support.
Yeah. Again, it just goes back to being kind to one another.
Exactly.
Yeah. Awesome. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, Travis, thank you so much for being here. We have loved every minute. You've definitely, you know, it inspires me to continue to, you know, treat others with respect, especially if you see that that person is having to deal with a bodily fluid.
There we go. You know? You know, for the one who threw up on the door, first thing I did, I went to the back and I got a washcloth, warmed it up in the sink. And hey, here's a warm washcloth, you know.
Oh, clean yourself up first.
We have some antacids, you know, like you have to accept it's
right.
You can't change the fact this happened. Just go with it. And
all right.
I appreciate you having me here for this.
Yeah, absolutely. We love it. We love when our fellow team members come in because it's such an engaging and meaningful experience to know where they came from. So Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of M3 Minutes Podcast. The stories Travis shared with us were full of twists and turns, but the true message remains clear: to treat people with kindness. If you like that story, don't forget to head back to the lobby and check out a few more. And while you're there, hit that subscribe button. Until next time, hoteliers, I'm Veronica Berman. Thank you.